Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
Self-admittedly, I'm not well-versed in bluegrass. I'm a gospel music kid, but you know, there's a lot of connection. I like to say country music and gospel music, kissing cousins, but also bluegrass and gospel music are kissing cousins. There's a lot intertwined there. And so it'd be no surprise that to the top of the charts comes, of the Southern Gospel charts, comes a bluegrass band that's been around for a long time. And I think it probably started, you know, I think seeds are planted early in childhood, and probably it went in the early mid-40s with the birth of a baby named Doyle, huh?
Well, you're probably right. Bill Monroe, we refer to as the father of bluegrass because he came with the formula that that is now known as, you know, bluegrass, with the instrumentation and the vocals and so forth.
Yeah.
But before that, he worked with his older brother Charlie as the Monroe Brothers. In 1936, the Bluebird label, which was a part of the Victor Recording Company, got in touch with the Monroe Brothers and said they must have them on their label.
Yeah.
And as a result, they recorded. And the very first song they recorded for the Victor label was "What Would You Give in Exchange for Your Soul?" And during their recording career as brothers, they did probably as many gospel numbers as they did the ballads and the of that day. And as for myself, my father sang in an a cappella gospel quartet, not a professional one, just locally in churches, revivals, funerals, Sunday afternoon for a preacher on the radio, and that sort of thing, you know. And they all, everybody in the quartet, studied shape note and could read. They were very adept at reading shape note music. And when they would practice, because as a kid, instead of going outside and playing with the kids, I was already bit by the music bug, you know. So I would sit right at their feet, and they would practice, and each one would sing their notes first. And then they would go back after that, and they would do the words. So my love for gospel started from the time I was just a small child. And as I got older, of course, I went to playing professionally. These songs that I used to hear my dad sing stayed with me. And I started to introduce them to the bluegrass world. And although bluegrass had its gospel, a lot of it was written by the artist of that day. Monroe had written some. Carter Stanley was a notable songwriter, and people like that, Carl Story. But they, by and large, they didn't get into the Stamps Baxter, James D. Vaughan books and things like that. And I think, I guess what made a difference most of all was that was where I was getting the bulk of my material was from my dad's old songbooks. And, so that's early on, my love for gospel music was as intense, if not more intense. And I've often said if I could only play one type of music, it would be gospel. But my belief is, and my calling has been to do it the way I do it. I think that's the way God has intended me to be used. And until I, you know, and I go places probably that some people don't feel comfortable in doing it. But I want to try and reach people that maybe never go to church. And that may be the only church they ever hear. And so I feel no condemnation by doing that. And that's probably the difference in me and a lot of other people. But I only answer to God. I only worry about Him.
If you haven't figured it out, that voice you're listening to is that of Doyle Lawson and, of course, the very famous band Quicksilver. Five members, right, in the group?
Actually, there's six of us.
Six
now. I need about one more to have an orchestra.
So bright and fair, where there is a place prepared for me. It started at an altar, down on my knees in prayer. Jesus came and set me free. Jesus came and saved my soul. Now I'm on my way to heaven where the milk and honey flows.
I know,
I know, I know. Met the Savior, or perhaps you've lost your way, take some good advice from me. Just let the Spirit lead you to the rugged cross today. You'll find blessed victory.
I know,
I know,
I know,
I know. Jesus came and saved my soul. Now I'm on my way to heaven where the milk and honey flows.
I know.
Now I'm on my way to heaven where the milk and honey flows.
I know,
I know, I know, I know,
I know,
I know,
I know,
I know. Jesus came and saved my soul. Now I'm on my way to heaven where the milk and honey flows.
I know.
So in the early days, you grew up, what, in East Tennessee?
I was born in just outside of Kingsport, and for the most part, we lived there, with the exception of a couple of 3 years over in the southeastern Kentucky. Dad worked in the coal mines. But we all went back to Kingsport. And when I was 10 years old, we moved about 60 miles west. My dad was from Hancock County, Tennessee, So we wound up on a little hardscrabble farm there for a while, and I stayed there about 7 years. And when I was 17, I thought I was old enough to leave and smart enough to leave. And the older I got, the more I realized how dumb I was to do all that. But I came out of East Tennessee. I live in Bristol, Tennessee these days. And I moved back there in 84. And, you know, Bristol, Tennessee and Bristol, Virginia, it's a border city.
Right.
But it's proclaimed by both Tennessee and Virginia as the birthplace of country music.
That's right. That's right.
And because of the historic recordings in 1927.
Right.
That brought Jimmie Rodgers, and most notably Jimmie Rodgers and the Carter family, and a host of others. But they were the ones, for some reason or other, that those two broke out of the pack and became major stars of that day.
Well, and in that area, too, I think you got the birth of Mountain Dew, the soft drink. So, I mean, I guess it's no surprise that with a name like that, this is going to be a great flight ground, I guess, for this music to take off.
Well, it's rich in the heritage of music from the old country. In the Appalachian region where we're from, maybe not as much now as it was when I was growing up, but he had a lot of Scotch-Irish. And I'm no exception. My father's, the Lawsons, were from Scotland, and his mother was a Cody, and they were from Ireland. But you had a lot of people, and they brought the ballads over from the old countries and their homes. Yeah. So you have a lot of people that, when I grew up, there was a lot of a cappella singing. Quartets, trios.
Sure.
And I grew up in a missionary Baptist church, and the church that I, that particular branch of the missionary Baptist didn't allow pianos or any string. It was all a cappella. It came natural. But I loved the sound of the mandolin when I heard Bill Monroe play. Yeah. I was about 5 years old, and I said, that's what I want to do when I grow up. I never changed my mind.
Thank you. serve him while living here below. When life here is o'er, I will meet with my Lord. To that heavenly home I will go. I wonder how there was such love that the Savior came from his throne above. He bled and died upon the cross that the world through him might not be lost. I want to walk in the way that is pleasing to my Lord. I'm going to serve him while living here below. When life here is o'er, I will meet with my Lord. To that heavenly home I will go. Christ said to his dear Father of all, may I go to the earth and make the call. The light of guidance they may see and will make them long to come home with me. I want to walk in the way that is pleasing to my Lord. I'm going to serve him while living here below. When life here is o'er, I will meet with my Lord. To that heavenly home I will go. I want to walk in the way that is pleasing to my Lord. I'm going to serve him while living here below. When life here is o'er, I will meet with my Lord. To that heavenly home I will go. To that heavenly home I will go.
You know, I've studied some of the convention, the roots of convention music and the shape notes and whatnot, and in that, and watching, I think it was a public television special, they talked about Irish music and how it was brought into Scottish and Irish into America.
Very much.
And you can definitely tell bluegrass is a takeoff from that, but you can also tell the gospel is a takeoff
from
that.
Of course, yeah. Well, the late George Jones, when I first started coming to the quartet convention, George was a great guy. And I didn't know, to be totally honest, I didn't know that I had as many people out on the Southern Gospel side that had an appreciation for my music. I didn't know that. But Rex Nealon was a dear friend. I got to know Rex, and as a result, over a period of time, I wound up being able to come here and play on the main stage and was accepted. And I was really nervous. I didn't know how it would, because I'm not a Southern Gospel quartet. I sing gospel music.
Right.
And I'm most interested in the message, in the song,
sure,
than I am what style you perceive it. That's my own personal belief. I love Southern Gospel music. Of course, I grew up with Hovey, Lister, and the Statesman, the Blackwood Brothers, the Oak Ridge Quartet.
Oh, yeah.
Lefevre Trio and all, the earlier groups, the Spear Family, Chuck Wagon Gang, and people like that. But there's a lot of great singers out today. You know, I think the Dove Brothers are carrying on a tradition that that has its place, as well as Ernie Haas and his group. Those two are carrying on, I think, a tradition that dates back to the days of Hovey and the Statesmen and the Blackwoods, because they had a lot of energy in their music, and when their presentations were high energy. That's just my own take on it.
Doyle Lawson of Doyle Lawson and Quicksilver, my guest today on Daniel, Britt, and Friends.
I know I can't please this world and please God.
Serve two masters and keep them both. expect my best friends to forsake me and turn me away from their door.
With a heart filled with hate, they have judged me and robbed me of treasures untold.
Oh, they may hurt my name, but I will never cry when they falsely accuse me
and others.
Bill Monroe. Okay, he's been called what, the father of bluegrass. Is that
right?
Is that accurate? No surprise here, influence in your life, right?
Well, he's the reason that I play bluegrass. When I heard him on the Grand Ole Opry, I was like just a small kid, 4 or 5 years old. Yeah, he was my first influence. And then, as I got older, I became aware of, you know, Stanley Brothers. And when I was 14 years old, I met a fellow named Jimmy Martin, who had spent 5 years with Bill. Jimmy was from Hancock County, Tennessee, originally. So I met him and got acquainted, and he took an interest in me. And he'd come home for Christmas, and I would get to go over, and he would sit and pick with me, show me things, you know. And as a result, when I was 18 years old, I wound up coming to Nashville and as a banjo player.
Yeah.
So that was my first pro job, but Bill was what made me want to play bluegrass.
And later in life, you'd be compared to having as big of an impact in bluegrass as Bill. I think some people give you pretty high compliments.
Well, I'll let the people decide that. Bill's my hero.
Thank God for every flower and each tree. Thank God for all the mountains and the sea.
Straight and narrow that the saints have traveled on, faith with all the tribulation of the martyrs that have gone. If you're grateful for their victory and for showing us the way, then give thanks for all your blessings. Get on your knees and pray.
Thank God for every flower and each tree. Thank God for all the mountains and the sea.
Said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. They would change their way of living if they could but understand. So remember they're your brother. They need your helping hand.
Thank God for every flower and each tree. Thank God for all the mountains and the sea. Thank God for giving life to you and me. Wherever you may be, thank God.
Sad to hear him say,
oh, I wonder,
yes, I wonder,
will the angels play their harps for me? For my feet are
weary,
and my heart is
growing dreary.
Will the angels play their
gospel sounds of Doyle Lawson and Quicksilver. And Doyle Lawson joins me across the table now on Daniel Britt and Friends, sharing more of his story and about the group's success in recent years.
Okay, so you're born in 44. Remind me again, so what year would you say it really, I mean, what year do you consider it beginning in your life that you really started doing this music? And when you look at how long you've been doing it, what year do you think?
Well, I actually... I always say I started playing professionally on the third day of February, 1963. I went to Nashville.
Yeah. Okay.
And but before that, when I was 15, 16 years old, I played. I had a couple of cousins at first, And we had a little trio around home, and we called ourselves the Country Cousins. And one of them was my first cousin, the other was my third cousin.
Yeah.
But we had that kindred harmony, you know, with the blend. And my first cousin, he could sing high as the moon. It didn't matter how high you wanted to. But that kind of expanded into wound up having a 4 or 5 piece band, you know.
Yeah.
But we just around home, and we'd go over into a little town called Pennington Gap, Virginia, was over not too maybe 45, 50 miles from where we lived. And there was a guy who had a Sunday afternoon radio program, and he played live gospel music from 1 to 3.
Right.
Had 2 hours. Huh. And so one of the guys that was playing in the band said, oh, I've got a distant cousin that plays over there. Maybe they'll let us. I bet you he let us play on the radio. So we all go over, and he said, yeah, sure. Well, we did 2 or 3 songs and left. And probably 3 or 4 weeks later, we said, well, let's go back over. Maybe he'll let us play on the radio again.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we go over. We pull in the parking lot. We're getting out of the car. And this guy, the guy, he had a used furniture store. Roy Sprinkle, I believe, was his. Anyway, he came out the door of the radio station. And he was a pretty big guy, you know, and he said, where in the world are you all been? Well, we thought we had done something wrong.
Right.
I think one of the guys said, well, we've been home. He said, well, I didn't know how to get in touch with you all. He said, people been calling and writing and wanting to know who that was on the radio. And I didn't know what to tell them. What do you call yourselves? And we said, well, we call ourselves the Country Cousins. He said, well, come in here. And we go into the studio, and he had a big, one of those old big tubs. The big ones, you know, and that thing was piled full of mail for us.
My goodness. Wow.
When we went away from that radio station that day, we thought we were somebody.
And now we present Gospel Radio Gems by those wonderful songsters of the South, Doyle Lawson and Quicksilver.
I am saved, oh, lands afar, going to gates that stand ajar.
I'm
riding high to realms above,
shining realms above,
moving nearer to this divine, closer to joy and to be mine.
Well, I'm riding high,
riding high on the wings of love,
shining wings of love.
I'm riding high,
riding high on the wings of perfect joy and love.
I'm riding high,
riding high to realms of majesties above, with my Savior close by my side, safe to port I'll surely ride.
I'm riding high,
riding high on the wings of love, shining wings of love. I am riding on wings secure to that home that will endure.
I'm riding high,
riding high to realms above,
shining realms above,
waves of beauty and pure delight, bearing my soul to heaven's light.
I'm riding high,
riding high on the wings of love,
shining wings of love.
I'm riding high,
riding high on the wings of perfect joy and love.
I'm riding high,
riding high to realms of matchless seas above, with my Savior close by my side, safely to port I surely ride.
I'm riding high,
riding high on the wings of love,
shining wings of love.
I'm riding high,
riding high on the wings of perfect joy and love.
I'm riding high,
riding high to realms of matchless seas above, with my Savior close by my side, safely to port I surely ride.
I'm riding high,
riding high on the wings of love, shining wings of love.
At the beginning of the program, I said, you know, I love bluegrass. I appreciate it. And anytime I get a chance to listen to it, I do listen to it. But I'm not well versed in it. I don't know the history of that much.
Well, it's never too late to start.
And that's true. Maybe this is a misconception. I mean, I know what they have. They have new grass these days. But that aside, it seems like bluegrass is, I get the feeling that it's kind of the same. It's been stayed from year to year, decade to decade. It's kind of what you heard back in the 40s, 50s, 60s is kind of all the same stuff today.
No.
Is that true or not?
No, it's not at all. What we have kept for the most part is the instrumentation.
Yeah, okay.
With the exception of an electric bass, which I use.
Right.
30 years ago when I put my band together after 16 years with other people,
right.
I wanted an electric bass because I only had 4 people. And I said, well, I've got to make as much noise as I can, you know.
Yeah,
And plus, all 4 of us, vocals was a big thing for us.
Okay.
that was, you know, when I got the guys, the first four together, I said, you know, I want to be a really varied band. I don't want to be painted in the corner as that's all you do.
Right.
I said, if I want to play a contemporary song, let's do it. If we want to do a traditional song, let's do it.
Yeah.
But the most important thing I want is a quartet like my dad had.
Huh.
That was the real stipulation I put on. We would sing when we first got together. Our rehearsals were 12 to 18 hours every day, 7 on 7.
Wow.
When we started booking out, we'd sing all the way to the shows.
Yeah.
Do our shows and sing all the way. If it was a short trip, we'd sing at least 2 or 3 hours after we left the show.
Huh.
And when we went backstage, we would be singing.
Right.
And the guy was recorded for a Sugar Hill label at that time. Mm-hmm. And the fellow that owned it at that time, he said, "Is there ever a time that you guys don't sing?" I said, "Not hardly, you know."
Yeah, yeah.
But it has changed a whole lot. And believe me, for somebody who's been into this profession 46 years, I've seen a lot of changes.
Yeah.
And for the most part, it's been a good change.
Yeah.
But the format and the integrity, I think, and the respect for tradition is what we've kept.
I see, yeah. And that shows. It translates.
Yeah, right. And but look, the fact is, it's much like the Southern gospel or pop or whatever. It can never be 1946 again.
Yeah.
That day has passed.
Yeah.
So the kids that come along today and want to play this music, their interpretation may be different than mine was, or some, you know. So
true.
You're going to have changes in anything. Change occurs even when you're not aware of it. It occurs. You can't stop that. But what you can do is maintain and keep the respect for the and the integrity and for the tradition that has been laid down. The foundation was Bill and his mandolin, mm-hmm. Lester Flatt. And the guitar, Earl Scruggs, who was probably the most important piece of that puzzle Bill could have put in there. That, to me, when he hired Earl Scruggs in 1945, and going back and listening to the music prior to that, that was what Bill was looking for. That solidified. And you can never overlook the importance that Earl Scruggs had in the banjo. And with the addition of that, you had Chubby Wise playing the fiddle, and Howard Watts, who his comedian role was Cedric Rainwater. Mm-hmm. After Howard left Bill, he went to Hank Williams and sang with Hank until Hank disbanded the group. You
right,
know.
Right.
That was the foundation. The guitar, banjo, mandolin, fiddle, and bass. In the early 1950s. Lester and Earl had left Bill, and they added the dobro with Josh Graves, which was a new dimension to the music. And this is a funny story. The first time Bill heard and saw one, he said, "What is that?" And the guy said, "It's a dobro." He said, "Well, I don't like it." you would have had to know Bill to know his real direct approach.
he
was a real direct person, you know. But and sometimes he'd do things like just to rattle people.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But that was a new dimension. You know, a dimension to the music was with the addition to the dobro. And even the dobro has been revolutionized over the years. People have come along. Mike Aldridge came along in the 70s, and he played a different style, but he still respected the tradition. And we hired a young kid when I was working with a country gentleman in 1973, a 16-year-old kid named Jerry Douglas out of Warren, Ohio. And Jerry came to us and worked during the summer when he got out of school. Came the next summer and got out of school. When he graduated, he just moved to Washington, D.C., and worked with us. And, of course, you know, Jerry totally revolutionized.
Wow.
You know, he's the king of the dobro, but he has the. If you ask Jerry today who his influences were, the first he says, Buck Graves or Josh Graves.
Yeah.
And so wow. That's how it's changed. But yet, as long as you keep the tradition, the integrity of the music, it's going to change.
Sure.
Sometimes I'll be first to admit there's probably some that I kind of look at and say, I don't know if I could,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
But it's all the way people feel. They're, yeah, just as my heroes were Bill and Lester and Earl and Jimmy and the Osmond Brothers, and they all played the same music, but they gave their own interpretation.
Yeah.
It's called being a stylist.
Yeah.
So you've got to move ahead, and I'm a little older than most, you know, these young pickers, so mm-hmm. I've got to try to put my cap on and think as they do.
Sin and woe, as we daily onward go, oft our thoughts are of that city where there's peace and love, I know. If we follow and do right, and the paths of sin we find, soon we'll span the banks of Jordan in a robe as white as snow.
Some beautiful day,
there in glory,
you're gonna weep
and have to go.
For God's gonna laugh, point his finger
to that all.
Yes, to that awful world below.
This world of grief and pain, still the Bible it explains, if we live our life for Jesus and trust in his holy name, soon we'll all be welcome home in his mansion, free to roam on that resurrection morning. Saints you'll welcome from their tomb.
Some beautiful day
up there in glory, you're gonna weep and have to go.
God's gonna laugh and point his finger
to that all.
Yes, to that awful world below.
Back to some of the early days, and you think everybody knows the Andy Griffith Show.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay, and there was the bluegrass band on there. So you think about that, and you think about the need for music, for camaraderie, for, you know, and in a lot of sense, it was their form of entertainment. Just gather around and sing, start picking, and pass the time away. Translate that to 2009 with some things that have changed. Do you think the need for the music or the desire for the music is somewhat the same?
If not greater,
yeah.
And I can tell you for sure that universal public awareness and acceptance of the music is greater than it ever has been. We're really strong as a music. We're probably in better shape than a lot of it, you know, as far as overall.
Right.
But you know, where they used to get together and say, well, come on over, we're gonna have a molasses stir off or whatever, make molasses,
bring
your fiddle.
Yeah.
Well, now they call it, hey, come on, let's go have a jam session. There's a place in Bristol, Tennessee, right close to the Bristol Speedway. Every Tuesday night, they have a big jam there.
Wow.
I mean, they gather. Now, I don't go. I'm very busy.
Yeah.
But now I know people that do go. And they pack that place full, you know.
Yeah.
And it's a jam. There's no money involved. They just go there and pick. And it's not just people that can sort of hit a chord. It's good pickers that go there.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to get you guys in trouble, but the other night there was a little jam session at the National Quartet Convention with some of the Jeff Easter and the Primitives and some of your guys.
Yeah.
And a girl from Cherry Holmes and... even some of the gospel singers were there. I mean, the
sure.
Perrys and
it's good. It's good camaraderie. Yeah,
it really is, yeah. And we've got some of the audio. We'll play that here.
Yeah.
But
well, I wasn't there. I had an early interview that I had
early
to
morning,
do,
yeah.
And I wanted to get a little rest. You know.
Let me give you, for instance, I worked for a college, and you know college kids, fresh out of high school, opinionated, going their own way, finding their direction in life, and last thing they probably want to do is follow in their mom's footsteps or dad's footsteps or grandparents. They want to do their own thing, make their own mark on the world. But at this particular college I was at, just up the road in Tallulah Falls, Georgia, I think it is, every Saturday night there'd be a bluegrass thing. And it was just, I don't think it was a PA system. I don't think it was a great facility. It may have been an amphitheater type thing. But these college kids, and you think about them being so, I don't know what the word is, but, you know, it almost seemed opposite. But these kids were attracted to it. And I think something with bluegrass that maybe you don't get with every genre of music is good is authenticity.
It is, and it's from the heart. That's the real deal. And those people, they are.
And kids are looking for authenticity.
They are. And, you know, you talk about kids like that. In the mid-60s, I was living in Kentucky, Lexington. I lived here in Louisville about 3.5 years when I left Nashville after Jimmy. And then, in those days, the only place we had to work, and of course, Lexington is horse country, you know.
Yeah.
And we'd do some of the private affairs that the horse people would throw, you know. But by and large, the only places you had to work was you had to work in the clubs and the bars or whatever, you know. But we worked a place called Martin's Tavern on 7th and Limestone. And you couldn't get in there because there probably wasn't five people in that place that didn't go to UK.
Right.
They were all there.
Right.
So one night we were playing on a Wednesday night. That place was jam-packed. You couldn't move, you know.
Yeah.
And a guy named Roland White came in, and he used to pick with our bass player, or fiddle player at the time, Bobby Sloan, who was working with us. And they had worked in California as the Kentucky Colonels. And so, what are you doing here? He said, I'm working for Bill Monroe. What are you doing? He said, well, we're looking for a fiddle player to take to Canada with us. And so I said, where's Bill? He said, well, he's outside because he can't get in. So I go back, and I said, well, I'll get him in. I'm pushing people away, and I go outside, introduce myself.
Yeah.
And he said, I can't get in. I said, yes, you can. Come on with me. And so I go back, and that's how I met Bill Monroe.
Wow.
And but the thing was, kids, to me, have always been attracted. And you hear all the discussions about youth this and youth that, and, you know, the ratio of young people. I think that's always been for country music.
Mm.
I'm talking about real country music.
Right,
And gospel.
Right.
And bluegrass.
Right.
I think the crowd has always been a little older than the young kids, real young kids. And we have our share of young kids, and more than we used to have.
Right, right.
So, but they've always been attracted to that acoustic music.
I remember the night Mother left us. We stood by the side of her bed. Strange how it all seemed so peaceful when she looked at the family and said, I am leaving the land of the dying to lay hold on eternal life. And the moment you see me departing, you will know I have safely arrived.
its seasons, how all things in life come and go, like the leaves that are green in the springtime fade away with the first falling snow. You see me departing, you will know I have safely said linger with me, so near to my heart every day, and when it's my time to cross over, her sweet words will show me the way.
This is Daniel Britt and Friends.
Oh, when the hand of God comes down with fire from heaven on high, it'll be too late to pray. When Gabriel blows his trumpet for the very last sound, where you gonna hide and see there when the hand of God comes down? We're living in an awful age and troubled times are here. The radios and magazines, their stories bring no cheer. The one and only recipe where lasting peace is found is watch and pray until the day when the hand of God comes down. Oh, when the hand of God comes down with fire from heaven on high, it'll be too late to pray. When Gabriel blows his trumpet for the very last sound, we're gonna hide and see there when the hand of God comes down. Many ride the devil's train, his wicked ways they choose. They'll rob and steal, fight and kill, and say I'll never lose. But listen, friend, there is an end when threats are time around. And did you know you reap what you sow when the hand of God comes down? Oh, when the hand of God comes down with fire from heaven on high, it'll be too late to pray. When Gabriel blows his trumpet for the very last sound, where you gonna hide and see there when the hand of God comes down? On the Bible's holy page, his words are written there. They tell about these darkened days in which we're living here. Many shun the word of God, no time to pray is found. But by and by somebody will cry when the hand of God comes down. Oh, when the hand of God comes down with fire from heaven on high, it'll be too late to pray. When Gabriel blows his trumpet for the very last sound, where you gonna hide and see there when the hand of God comes down? Oh, when the hand of God comes down with fire from heaven on high, it'll be too late to pray.
I've been sinner when the hand of God comes down. Oh, where you gonna hide them sinner when the hand of God comes down?
We used to play place in Lexington on, at the Holiday Inn.
Yeah.
We were the first group to move uptown and actually go into a really nice place to work. And,
yeah. Yeah.
And they had, it was a big room. And on New Year's, they would wall it off. And so one night we're doing our part over in our lounge, and next door is the Guy Lombardo band. You're talking about chaos.
My goodness, wow.
Sin and woe, as we daily onward go, oft our thoughts are of that city where there's peace and love, I know. If we follow and do right, and the paths of sin we find, soon we'll span the banks of Jordan in a robe as white as snow.
Some beautiful day,
some beautiful day, up there in glory,
gonna weep.
You're gonna weep and have to go.
So God's gonna look and
point his finger to that all,
yes, to that awful world below.
This world of grief and pain, still the Bible it explains, if we live our life for Jesus and trust in his holy name, soon we'll all be welcome home in his mansion, free to roam on that resurrection morning. Saints you'll welcome from their tomb.
Some beautiful day
up there in glory,
you're gonna weep
and have to go.
God's gonna look and point his finger
to that all,
yes, to that awful world below.
To that all,
yes, to that awful world below.
When this world was lost in shame, for our redemption Jesus came.
He made it all right.
Made it all right. All right.
Made it all right.
Dying there upon the cross, this man of sorrow bore our loss.
He made it all right.
Made it all right. All right.
Made it all right.
Savior, bless his name.
From darkness he led
us to the light.
What a wonderful love.
Wonderful love of grace and favor since he came.
He made it all right.
Made it all right. All right.
Made it all right.
Man such love had never known till Jesus suffered for his own.
He made it all right.
Made it all right. All right. Made it all right. Then when Jesus bowed his head, forgive them were the words he said.
He made it all right.
Made it all right. All right.
Made it all right. He made it all right.
Made it all right. Oh, what a Savior, bless his name.
From darkness he led
us to the light. Marvelous light.
What a wonderful love.
Wonderful love of grace and favor since he came.
He made it all right.
Made it all right. All right. We are secure, a promised life that will endure.
He made it all right.
Made it all right. All right.
Made it all right.
Safe at home with him to be, to spend the glad eternity.
He made it all right.
Made it all right. All right.
Made it all right. He made it all right.
Made it all right. Oh, what a Savior, bless his name.
From darkness he led
us to the light. Marvelous light.
What a wonderful love.
Wonderful love of grace and favor since he came.
He made it all right.
Made it all right. All right.
He made it
is His name.
From darkness He led,
us to the light, wondrous light.
What a wonderful love.
Wonderful love
of grace and favor.
Since He came,
He made it all right.
Made it all right,
all right.
Made it all right.
He made it all right.
Made it all right,
all right.
Doyle Lawson and Quicksilver, our guests today on Daniel Britt and Friends, but we'll come back next week with part two as we sit down with Doyle Lawson and hear more of his success as pioneer in bluegrass and primarily bluegrass gospel music. See you back here next time.
You've been listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern gospel. You can hear many of the interviews again online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.